KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at night. I am your host, Adam Gardner. Here with me is Greg Skordas. And, you know, I just want to mention, Greg, before we get started, if you want to know all of the breaking news happening in the state of Utah and around the country, you can actually go and text the word breaking to 57500, and you're going to get all of the updates from KSL, KSL News, all the breaking updates. You know, this is we're in your world right now. We're talking about the Chad Daybell case, the Chad Daybell trial. Have you been following that?
Oh, yeah. And speaking of breaking, I mean, KSL has actually been live streaming it, and I've been following it pretty closely. I was there, Adam, for the opening
really?
Day. Yeah. Opening day jury or no opening statements and the first witness.
That's exciting.
Sort of stayed for part of the second day. It was been really interesting. We're lucky to have with us Amy Kobabe, who spent a lot more time there than I have and who can help us break it down. Amy, thanks for being with us again.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, it's a big case. I'm grateful to join you.
Yeah. So tell us what's happening lately. I've been really interested in some of the evidence that the state has had. That's not necessarily the same as what we heard with Lori, but Chad came out of the chute with his attorney saying, Lori, Alex, everybody but me, at least his attorney did. But the state has really put on a case pointing the fingers at Chad, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. I mean, today it was really interesting. They brought in the state medical examiner in Utah who examined and did the autopsy on Tammy's body back in 2020. And he talked about, you know, she died of asphyxiation, and he believes that it was because of she was strangled, that it was strangulation involved. And there was one kind of weird moment where they had him kind of draw on like a diagram of a human body, you know, where was she bruised? And John Pryor, the defense attorney, got up and was like, well, how would someone strangle Tammy and bruise her at the same time, hold her arms down? And then the state got up and said, would it be possible for someone to strangle her to death while another person held her arms down? And he said, absolutely. So kind of a weird thing to even set up. But they really set that up. And, you know, Pryor doing his best here, but there's just a lot of evidence that points directly to, you know, Chad was there. He said he was in bed with Tammy the night she died, and she had bruises that put, you know, those on that same night. So it's all just stacking up, not looking good for him.
So, Amy, I want to follow up with Tammy a little bit, because that's a different element than we dealt with in Lori's trial. And if I recall, when Tammy first passed away, the authorities there called it natural causes. She had had some issues, and they actually had to exhume her body sometime later. That had to have made the testimony today, or at least the expert's testimony, a little more difficult, because you're not dealing with, let's face it, you know, fresh evidence. You're dealing with something that's a little more difficult. Did the medical examiner today talk about that in terms of the difficulty in getting medical evidence that could help with this case?
He did, but very carefully. Basically, what they were able to determine is because there was no other cause of death, there was very direct questions of, did she die from a seizure? Did she die from anemia? Did she die from, heart issues? All of those were ruled out. And because there was the physical evidence of foam in her mouth, all of that stacked up to, hey, the only conclusion left is asphyxiation. And because she has these bruises, they went into the bruises quite detailed. Those pictures were shown to the jury, not to the public, of her body and those bruises that they examined, that they were in those same kind of that timeline. But there was a lot of question about whether they were able to really determine, you know, given how much time had passed and given that bruises can be, you know, slow to show up. We've all experienced that where coloration can change and it's not always uniform. And so that was something that defense really went after for sure, that, hey, you know, you're making this conclusion, but can you actually make this conclusion? And the medical examiner said, yeah, I can.
We're speaking this evening with Amy Kobabe, KSL News reporter, who was covering the Chad Daybell trial in Boise. And let's talk about the other two alleged homicides here, Tylee and JJ, because, again, I was there for openings and the defense seemed to be, hey, you know, Chad wasn't really involved in that. He wasn't really around at the time. Look at Lori. Look at Alex. But I heard some testimony, I think, from an FBI agent, from some others, that were putting Chad close to the scene. His phone was there. He was there at the time and the place when these two children were killed. What kind of evidence they have to involve Chad with that those deaths?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's that cell phone evidence that he was at home, and also that Alex Cox, who is believed to have been the one that really did the killings of the two children, at least, was also on Daybell's property. The children, the last day they were seen, they were, you know, we know those dates. And the day after, Alex Cox was on the Daybell property both of those times. And so places him there. And also there was communication, according to the FBI, between Alex, Lori, and Chad on those days when they believed the children were buried. And that, you know, they were in close communication, talking all morning, talking throughout the night. And that Alex Cox was, you know, in the backyard where the bodies were eventually found. So, I mean, it really is tough when their bodies were found in his backyard. And then he's also talking to the main suspect on the days when the children were believed to have been killed.
Amy, when we were watching Lori's trial, and I think you and I talked about this a bit, the defense was largely, the state doesn't have a very good case. At the end of the day, you're going to have reasonable doubt. They didn't put on a case. They didn't put on a single witness. They didn't put on a single piece of evidence that, in terms of their case in chief. The defense in Chad's case has been much more aggressive, at least in terms of challenging the evidence, in terms of doing, instead of just saying, hey, wait a minute, you don't have a very good case. He's taking, at least the 2 days that I was watching it, he seemed to be more aggressive. Has that continued or has he backed off a little bit?
Absolutely. He is very aggressive. And it was kind of fun today. There was a moment with Lindsay Blake, one of the prosecutors, where she just matched his energy and, you know, made objection after objection. And they were multiple, you know, sustained by the judge. And it was kind of this back and forth. There was also a moment where the defense attorney, John Pryor, even cut off the witness that he was questioning at the moment he was trying to get an answer from them. And the judge had to stop him and say, you have to let them answer, because he was just so gung-ho and just getting after it. But Lindsay Blake, they're just continuing to say, hey, he's testifying here. And the judge agreed. So he's going after it. It's not always working, though, because it's being stricken from the record because it's just not appropriate.
Amy, today is day 14. We've only got a minute left. But where do you think the case stands in terms of the state's case? Do you think that they're at the halfway point? I know that's very difficult because they said this trial is going to go 10 to 12 weeks. But does it seem like the state's close to wrapping up, or are we just still getting into the meat of the case?
I think I would say more at the tail end of the state's case. We've had a few people we knew were going to testify that have already testified. I know they are bringing on another expert tomorrow is what they said. But we also knew about the beginning of May is when John Pryor was preparing his own witnesses to come, and that he wanted kind of an estimate on that so that he could fly them out. So we don't know who that is, but that does tell me, you know, I think we're pretty close to that schedule. That would put it, you know, this week, next week. And I think next week would be optimistic, maybe even the week after, if, you know, the state continues with all the witnesses. We went through four today, though. It was very quick. So you know this, it's never certain, especially in this case, how many are still to testify and how long it'll take.
And that was KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe, who's going to be there covering this trial. We'll be back after the break. Thanks, Amy, for joining us.